Let's turn to Judges chapter 2. I want to say what happens when a nation or a people does not know the Lord. That's what I want this to answer, as well as another section of Scripture. Judges 2, starting at verse 7. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. When they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. When the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. Let's pray. Lord, we know the nature of mankind, how quickly we spring up and show some life, and then how quickly men fall away from that. Lord, how many have even said this year that they will be in church more, they will be in the Bible more, they will walk with the Lord more, they will overcome this or that habit they have. And now in February, we're long past when that even has been abandoned for this year. And so, Lord, we see it in Israel, and it is the nature of mankind. And yet in you, we are to do better and to persist and to be strong. So, Lord, I pray you would instruct us and guide us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This past week, it was, again, a topic of conversation. We've heard it before. Is the president a Christian? And former Mayor Giuliani, brought up a bunch of things this week about the president. And one of the headlines I saw in the places I go for news was, Is he or is he not a Christian? And, I mean, he seems to be pro-Muslim. He seems to be anti-Christian. He gravitates toward atheistic systems like socialism and communism. And so, what's the deal? And we'd ask it for anybody, not just the president. The president is obviously living in the public eye. But the answer to that question must consider a number of factors. They would ask about any person who claimed to be a Christian. For one, for some, a Christian is someone who believes in Christ. They just believe in Jesus. They just believe he existed. They believe in the concept of Christ. They believe that he's out there somewhere. Of all the gods, their God is Christ, or the Christian way. And that's not biblical Christianity. That's not a Christian in the biblical sense. But it would be recognized as Christian for some. But I would say this, that Muslims believe in Christ. They just don't believe he is the greater prophet. They don't believe he's above Muhammad. A regional Christian might be called a Christian because he lives in a region that is predominantly Christian. Like this country could be called, a person might be called a Christian because, or assumed to be a Christian because there's a lot of Christians around. A formal Christian would be one who was a Christian in name only. They had some sort of ritual. They were a member of a church or some Christian group that made them to basically self-identify with Christ in a way that doesn't really affect their lifestyle or beliefs, but is a formal Christianity. It is outward, basically, rather than inward. Then there's the biblical Christian, a born-again Christian, someone who Jesus said, unless you repent, you all likewise perish, and you must be born again. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a biblical Christian. Someone who has been saved by the power of the Holy Spirit to regenerate, to transform their lives, and it ushers forth from there in works that are consistent with that profession. That's a biblical Christian. Some would be Christian in worldview. This country was founded on a Christian worldview. Wasn't that all the founding fathers were Christians in the biblical sense, but they were Christians in the sense that they believed in the Christian worldview. They believed in the Judeo-Christian ethic. They thought the laws of the Bible and the mandates and principles the Bible teaches were good for the founding of society. They were right about that. But some would say they're a Christian because their mentality, their mindset, their approach to life is based on biblical positions on right and wrong. Now, in one sense, no one can see into the heart of a person. We can't look into the heart of the president. We can't look into the heart of each other and say that a person is a Christian or not a Christian in the biblical sense. We obviously can see it from an outward sense if someone goes to a Christian church or professes Christ. But to see it inside is not ever possible for us to just directly look into the heart and see. But the Bible does say, by their fruits you will know them. True Christianity, the Bible teaches. Paul says it to the Corinthians, that they are saved and they act a certain way unless they believed in vain. A true believer has the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and all that, that marks them as a Christian. So you could more likely gather that a person is a Christian or a non-Christian by their fruit. Someone who says they're a Christian, they live in open sin and unrepentant sin, they cast in doubt their Christianity. Of course, it would have to possibly go on a while, because Christians are able to sin, even awfully. But an actual Christian is a practical Christian. It's someone who is for the principles of Christianity. And that tends to prove that they're a Christian. But if they're against it, it tends to prove that they're not a Christian. So if someone is always going against the biblical principles, if they're always on the wrong side of the Bible, then they're basically saying they're not a Christian, even if they're a regional Christian, even if they believe in Christ, even if they have a Christian mindset, even if they have a formality of Christianity. They're saying biblically, we're not really Christians by their behavior, by their actions, by their works, by their morality. What happens when a nation does not know the Lord? Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So we know that a nation is blessed if their God is the Lord. But what if they don't know the Lord? What if a nation does not know the Lord? And, of course, if I say nation, I mean the bulk. There may be one or two here or there that know the Lord, but the bulk of the nation characterized as they do not know the Lord. That carries the whole of society. That mentality of being against Christianity, they don't know the Lord. How do we know that? Well, you know, when we say a person doesn't know the Lord, someone's going to say, well, I do know the Lord. Don't tell me I don't know the Lord. I do know the Lord. Usually people who talk like that don't know the Lord, because they're asking to take their word for it. Don't look at what I do. Don't judge me for it. You just take my word for it. I do know the Lord. It's not that determination that carries here. The determination is by the Lord. The Lord says they don't know me. And that makes a profound effect on society from that fundamental question, do you know the Lord? And if a nation does not know the Lord, it is not a neutral thing. It makes a huge difference. Now, knowing the Lord, when we say someone knows the Lord, that's the counter to not knowing the Lord, ignorance of the Lord. And by nature, we are born in ignorance. We don't know the Lord. You know, there are times, you know, we see it in Scripture that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. There's a time you don't know the Lord. You're ignorant of the Lord's ways. In other countries where the Bible is never preached, and people don't know the Lord. They have no information about the Lord. There's a natural ignorance about the Lord, because the Bible says, you look at Romans 3 in this regard, it's even more clear about the situation we have morally. Romans 3, part of the Romans Road, Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. You see, there's that ignorance. There is none who seeks after God. See, they don't know the Lord. They have all gone out of the way. They've left the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. That is a picture of a person who has no knowledge of God. They have no fear of the Lord. They don't respect God's ways. The Lord commands something, it doesn't move them. That's an opinion to them. And so that person, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Which means if you don't know the Lord, you don't fear the Lord, you do not have wisdom. And if a nation and its leaders don't know the Lord, they will be foolish and destructive, even while they claim to be for the good of society. We have an increasingly number of secularists in our day who believe they know what is best for society without God. They present various formulas that would make things better without God. So there is this idea that without the fear of the Lord, without the knowledge of God, which makes us, according to the Bible, foolish and not wise, that a foolish person is going to bring some betterment to society by not fearing the Lord. And that may be somebody way up in high authority in office, like the president or Congress people or all that. Or it may be just a parent at the most basic fundamental structures of our society that does not know the Lord is going to spout out foolishness to their children. So I want to chronicle a couple of ways tonight where we see, and there's more than this in the Bible, where we see what happens when people don't know the Lord. I want to look first at Pharaoh, and I want to look at then here in this passage in the Judges. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Exodus 1, verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Now you remember the story of Joseph and his effect in Egypt. Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt, his brothers being the brothers that you'd never want anybody to have. Sold him into slavery because they were jealous of his visions. And he was in prison there. He was falsely imprisoned. And yet everywhere Joseph went, everything he did in Egypt, the Bible tells us the Lord was with him and blessed him. He blessed the first place he was as a servant of Potiphar. He was blessed in the prison as one who directed the prison and the warden of the prison just gave everything into his hands. He was blessed later on as he rose into the highest places. And Pharaoh, if you look at Genesis, back to Genesis 41, Pharaoh didn't see Joseph just as Joseph. When Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, because finally it was told that this happened in the prison, and there's somebody there that can interpret dreams, and Pharaoh had these dreams. And so he was brought to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had these dreams himself. So when Pharaoh asked Joseph about the dreams, then Joseph interpreted the dreams and said there was going to be a great famine in the land. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, and that famine was going to overcome the 7 years of plenty. Verse 38 of chapter 41, Genesis. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a man as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck, and he had him ride in a second chariot. Joseph went as far down as to as far up as you can, just about as far up as you can go. And Pharaoh noticed about Joseph, not that he had a cunning mind, not just that he seemed to be naturally wise, but that God verse 38 emphasizes that. The Spirit of God, verse 39, God has shown you all this. Joseph was seen as a man of God. And when Joseph spoke, he was speaking the wisdom of God. How could anyone know that there was famine coming? God showed Pharaoh the dream. Joseph came and interpreted the dream. And it happened exactly as Joseph said. And in order to save society and his nation itself, and even the world at that time, Pharaoh gave Joseph authority to prepare the nation for the famine. Nobody else knew about this. And he was recognized as a man of God. And later on, when it was revealed that Israel was Joseph's nation, Israel also was respected in that way. So when we see in verse 8 of Exodus 1 that there came a time when a Pharaoh arose, a new king, who did not know Joseph, that entire mentality is gone. Israel at that time was no longer seen as blessed by God and good for the nation of Egypt. They lost that. That plug had been unplugged. And now Israel was seen as a threat to the Egyptians. If somebody comes in, they'll help our enemies. And this is the way Pharaoh reacted to the Jews in the land. At one time, they were Joseph's people. They were good for the nation. God had blessed his people. Joseph was a man of God, a man of wisdom from God. Now they're seen as potential support for their enemies. And if somebody comes in, they'll turn on them. So they were threatened and abused and oppressed and targeted for destruction. Because once the nation lost Egypt, lost the connection between God and Israel and the good of our nation from them being here, and that Joseph's God was the God of heaven who did all these great things, then they targeted them for destruction. The reason churches have a tax deduction for giving offerings and churches have deductions is because in the original idea, the philosophy of the founding fathers, and they saw the church as a benefit to society. That the church, with the gospel and the word of God and the people being taught the ways of God, that benefited society. Today you often hear, why do churches get a tax exemption in this or that? Because they don't believe it anymore. They've lost the connection. I'm just talking about church in general. Obviously, some churches and religions shouldn't have that. But they were looked at entirely differently. And the thought then was, we've got to get rid of them. We've got to hold them down and keep them from multiplying. They wanted the service. They put them under heavy service. They didn't mind the slaves, but Egypt was frustrated. They tried to get rid of them and they kept growing. And so Egypt had increasing anxiety and fear, all because they had lost the connection from before. They didn't know Joseph. They didn't know God. They didn't know Israel as they knew them before. If they had remembered Joseph, their whole land would have been saved. Because what happened with their opposition to Egypt? We've got to get rid of these people. It went as far as you could go. They became enemies of God. Egypt did. They ended up killing the newborn males. Float them out on the river. They turned against Israel, they turned against God, and they became practical enemies of God. Because when the people started crying out to the Lord heard. And in time, Egypt was decimated by the plagues and destroyed in the Red Sea, the bulk of them, the army. If they had remembered Joseph, it would have saved them out of all of that. But they didn't. They did not know Joseph. They did not know the Lord. So they acted to protect their gods. They had all these gods, and God knocked them all down in the plagues. But the other Pharaoh knew Joseph. And they knew the people. But Egypt, because they didn't, ended up fighting against God. Now, look at this passage we are at in Judges now. Judges 2. Now, Egypt is an example of a pagan ruler, a non-Christian ruler, having an attitude toward God and his people that is ignorant. They lack the knowledge of God. Judges shows us the people of God in ignorance. Pharaoh was a pagan. The Jews were the nation of God. And what do we see here about them? We're told here in this passage that as long as Joshua was alive, verse 7, the people served the Lord. And also all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So as long as they had Joshua and the elders who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done, they followed the Lord. That doesn't mean they all acted as Christians or righteous men, but their mentality and mindset was that they followed the ways of the Lord. They were in touch with the Lord. They knew the Lord. And that was important to their behavior. But verse 10 says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And there's a bunch we could say about that. These things have to be passed down. You know, this day we live in now, our children know less about the Lord than we knew about the Lord at our age, at the same age. Overall, children, if you had this many who knew the Lord back in when we were kids, you got this many who know about the Lord today. Because society has become more secular, and the whole idea of Christianity has become more and more like the Pharaoh who did not know Joseph looked at Israel as a threat, as a curse, a blight. But when they didn't know the Lord, it means that this was not maintained from one generation to the next. These knew about the Lord. And remember when all these things happened that we're talking about here, the great works of the Lord, God said to pass those things down to your children. Be constant about it. The laws you're to write in your house. You're to talk about these stories. You're to keep these feasts that commemorate some great work of God. Tell them about the history. I think the fact that our kids today don't know about the history of this nation is a problem. They don't know about the people in World War II or Vietnam or World War I or the Korean War. They don't know anything about those, or even modern day, closer to the modern day. They don't realize the sacrifices that have been made for the freedoms we have in this country. If they did, they would be more careful to keep them. But they forgot. They did. Then it's amazing. After all the Lord did for Israel, that you could see a verse like verse 10. They didn't know the Lord anymore. How did we get in this nation? I was always supposed to say, when your children ask this, you tell them this happened. They lost it. They did not know the Lord. And so because of that, verse 11, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. We are religious by nature. We have a natural affinity to having some kind of religion. There are pure atheists, you know. It's hard to know how many there are of those, really. But if you take polls, like say in this country, do you believe in God? It's going to be, or has been until late, 90% plus people. Somebody, do you believe in God? Some are agnostics, kind of a gray form of atheism. But there is belief in God. And if you don't have the right God, then you believe in the wrong God. And when Israel lost the right God, they didn't know him anymore, they went to the wrong God or gods. So in verse 11, the children of Israel went to the Baals. They went to the fertility gods, goddesses. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. This would be like you hunt, or you know about it at least. Your forefathers used to hunt and they used a shotgun. And they didn't pass any of that down. So the time comes when a new generation decides to hunt. And so they go to the store and they get this little, they know they have to have a gun. They go and they get this little stopper gun. Remember those? And you try to make them stick to the wall. Little rubber things on them. And because they don't know, and then they go out and hunt, and there's the deer with this little stopper gun. And what are we doing wrong? We're missing something somewhere. You're missing everything here. And so when they lost the Lord, they got him a little toy gun. They went after the gods who weren't gods. Consider the Arab world. Wholly given over to a false god. I mean, not that aren't Christians, there are. But the character of the Arab world is Islam. And it's a false system. But, you know, we're religious by nature. So they adopted another god. They went after other gods. And they forsook the Lord. And so they became, in the eyes of God, they became his enemies practically. Verse 14, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, so he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. That is a picture of what we get without the Lord eternally. Without the Lord, they were distressed. They were overrun. They could not stand up to their enemies anymore. And we're told the Lord raised up judges, verse 16, who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them, yet they would not listen to their judges. We're told that they listened for a while, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked. In obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judges. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers. by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor turn from their stubborn way. They lost God. They forgot the Lord. They did not know the Lord. And when they did come back, and during the days of the judges, they had to be propped up. They had to be led around. They did not take any kind of, we got to keep this, we got to keep this, we got to keep this. They just said, well, whatever. They just went about it casually, and it got went away every time. And they forsook the Lord every time. And they lost. You know, if we leave the Lord, we get decimated. We get overrun. We get harassed and oppressed. And a few years later, they forgot all about that and just went right back to it. And the Lord said he's going to leave nations in the land to test them, to see whether they'll follow him. Meaning that, you know, like they always did, if they saw a God out there they liked more naturally than the Lord, they would go after that God. So the Lord left those nations there to test them, to see if they would do that. You see, that's what happens to a nation that doesn't know the Lord. There's never been a nation that has forsaken the Lord and gone their own way and made their own laws that is healthy because of it. And that's how we determine whether a leader or a nation knows the Lord. Israel couldn't just say we know God and just do whatever they wanted to do. When the leadership wasn't there to lead them in the ways of God, they fell away. The maturity of our Christian faith is, yes, we need other people. Yes, we're to stay in touch with leaders. Yes, we're to submit to them and listen to what they say and obey what the Bible tells us. But we have got to stand on our own and pass down to our children ourselves what the Bible says. You waiting for a Congress to come out with a law saying we need to pass down the Bible to our children? Don't hold your breath on that. The Lord gave them opportunity to choose whether they would follow the Lord or not by leaving those nations there. And the hope of a nation is to know the Lord. The Lord's laws are not destructive. Leaving them is destructive. And that's what's killing our nation right now, is our leaders do not know the Lord. And our people do not know the Lord. There's no mention of a problem in Scripture because we don't have a Congress or a president or a Senate or schools or hospitals or churches. There is a problem in Scripture of not knowing the Lord. If you want to get to the very basic fabric of society, we don't need more schools. We don't need more laws from Congress. We don't need better congressmen, although that would be great. Or better leaders. That would be fine. What we need, according to Scripture, is knowledge of God. Without that, everything falls apart in every nation. Whether you look at it from a pagan standpoint and you despise Christians, or you look at it from a Christian standpoint and you forsake the Lord. How can anyone say religion has no place in society if that religion gives us the knowledge of the true God? And that is what the Bible, and that's what the church is supposed to do. Jesus said, "We are the salt of the earth." Without that salt, society is very bland and corrupt. Some say the salt refers to taste, and some say it refers to preservation. Either could do for the illustration. Without the influence of the light from Christians, society is corrupt. And so we need to know the Lord. That's what happens when a nation does not know the Lord. Let's all stand.